Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy New Year, everybody. How you doing? Spencer at Sports back with you. First show of the brand new year. Are you still writing 2022 on everything? Because I am. Spencer Wagon back in the Circus Sports Iowa studios. Producer Ben is here as well. 319-366-1600. Glad to be back with you on a Tuesday, January 3rd of 2023. I don't write checks anymore. Back to that comment I made. I don't write a ton of checks. But I've been like titling files, like writing stuff like here at the station behind the scenes, putting audio into the system. And sometimes we put dates on stuff and I've been writing 2022 for everything. Eventually I'll get it. It is only what, the third day of 2023. So we can recover still, but hope you had a great New Year's and you're ready to go here. Another short week. It's going to be weird next week, having to work a full 5 days, Monday through Friday. I'm not sure how we're all going to react to that, but we got plenty of sports to talk about on the airwaves with you as we kick off 4 straight hours of local programming here on the gym. We'll talk lots of college football today. We had a shutout on Saturday, Music City Bowl, Iowa Hawkeyes winning 21-0 over Kentucky, wrapping up 2022 with a victory and heading into an offseason that's going to see quite a bit of personnel changes for this Iowa football program. We learned of two today, one NFL draft declaration, one not-so-unexpected move into the transfer portal for one Iowa football player. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few moments. Love to get your thoughts on the Music City Bowl or the bowl season in general. There's only, well, technically two college football games left in the season. We have the FCS championship game this Sunday, if you're counting that, as North Dakota State takes on South Dakota State there. But only one D1 FBS game left, and that is coming up Monday as Georgia plays TCU for the national championship. We'll dive into that, dive into an exciting playoff semifinals from the weekend as well. Also on the show today, we'll talk some NFL. Of course, the entire sports world, not just the NFL world, continuing to follow the just horrific story from last night in Cincinnati. Monday Night Football suspended and then postponed after Bills safety Damar Hamlin collapsed on the field after a hit, was taken to the hospital, is still in critical condition as of earlier today. Get you the latest updates from all sides as we get them throughout the show today, but we will talk about that story. Talk about the weekend that was in the NFL. We had some impactful games this weekend. We have some impactful games coming up as Week 18 is on the horizon here for us here as we wrap up the NFL regular season and look ahead to the postseason. We'll get to that later on in the show. Plus, college hoops news and notes. Look at the NBA from last night. Had a big performance last night in the NBA. It happened against the Chicago Bulls. If you're a Bulls fan, you're probably not too thrilled it happened against your team, but gotta tip your cap to a prolific performance from last night when you get the opportunity to. We'll do that here coming up in just a bit. 319-366-1600 is our talker text line here for you here today. What did you think of the Music City Bowl? Iowa getting the job done 21-0 over Kentucky. It was all points being scored in the second quarter. That's all Iowa needed to get the job done. Was not the prettiest game. Nobody thought it was going to be a pretty football game. But if you're a fan of defense and special teams, which if you're a fan of the Iowa football program, you probably are. You liked what you saw, especially in that second quarter on Saturday as Iowa avenged, in a way, their loss to Kentucky back in January 1st of 2022 in the Citrus Bowl, winning on the final day of 2022 against a Kentucky team that, of course, as was well documented in the lead-up to the game, had a number of opt-outs and draft declarations and guys hitting the portal. Iowa had, of course, injury at starting quarterback with Spencer Petras being out. Saw Alex Padilla, number two quarterback, hit the transfer portal after the end of the regular season. That left it to Joe Labus making his first career start. And for all things considered, he did not play bad football at all. Was it the best performance in the world? No, but he played decent football and ended up leading the Hawkeyes to a victory. Final stat line for Joe Labus, 14 of 24, 139 yards passing, threw a touchdown pass in that game. The first score of the game was a touchdown pass, an impressive drive. The drive including a big catch and run by Sam Laporta, where he seemingly ran through the entire Kentucky defense to set up the score, which ended up going to Luke Lachey, a 15-yard touchdown pass from Labus to Lachey. That opened the scoring at the 12:08 mark of the second quarter. And then it was the defense after that. Xavier Wampa, who got his first start in this bowl game, getting his first start. It was announced before the game late last week that he would be seeing his first action as a starter. Well, he did what he set out to do and returned an interception 52 yards for a touchdown to make it 14-0. And then right before halftime, Cooper DeJean with one of the more casual pick sixes I guess you could ever see in your life, the 14-yard interception return for a score with a minute 36 left in the first half. DeJean making it 21-0, and that's all the scoring the Iowa football team would need to beat Kentucky in the contest last Saturday at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Final stat lines looking like this. Jazz Patterson with four carries for a net of 23 yards. Caleb Johnson, nine carries for 17 yards on the day. I mentioned Joe Labus' stat line as well. Sam Laporta, five catches on seven targets for 56 yards. Luke Lachey, three catches for 36 yards and the one score. That was essentially it for the Iowa offense. The offense did not perform all that well, and that is something we are used to talking about this year. When you look at how things went on offense for the day, the one stat that really stands out for this Iowa football team, 0-for-11 on third downs, 0-for-2 on fourth down conversions. Kentucky wasn't much better, to be completely fair. They were 2-of-18 on third downs, but did go 3-of-5 on fourth downs. But 0-for-11 on third downs, and still the outcome of the game was really not in doubt. Iowa did outgain Kentucky 206 to 185, ran 48 offensive plays, 206 total yards of offense, and outgained Kentucky 206 to 185. Another special shout out on the day has to go to Torrey Taylor, who really was on his game for the game on Saturday. Eight punts, average of 48 yards per punt, six of them inside the 20-yard line, and a long of 59 in the game on Saturday. So the Hawkeyes get the win, 21-0. They beat Kentucky. They finish the year 8-5. Kentucky dropping to 7-6. And Kirk Ferentz talking with the media after the game, talked about the consistency of the program. Talked about finishing another season with eight wins. And you look at the last several years for Iowa football. In fact, last seven years for Iowa football, not counting COVID, although in this response, Kirk did say he would include the COVID year, in which they only played eight games as part of that shortened season. But it's consistency. Eight-plus wins for 7 years in a row, that's consistency. And here's what the head Hawk had to say about that after the game.
Yeah, I think it's significant. Winning in college football is not easy, and I think it's significant if you look at the other four teams that have done it. Oklahoma dropped out of it, was six coming into the year. We're still there, and those other teams, you know, you don't see us recruiting against them too often. So it just says a lot about our players. Like I said, these seniors, feel an obligation to the program to, you know, uphold the standard. And, you know, that's what the game's all about, you know, guys getting that message and just – it's pretty simple, but it's hard when you got 120 guys show up every day with a good attitude and put an honest day's work in, you know, and it's those are habits that will really help them down the road, whether they're, what do they do professionally, being a parent, being somebody that's, you know, member of a team in a company, a school, whatever you're doing. It's just, it's a beautiful part about football.
Kirk Ferentz speaking after the Music City Bowl win, one of several times, both during the press conference, you saw the postgame trophy ceremony, and then not even as part of any press conference or ceremony, he got emotional when talking about this team and the seniors, and he was asked about his emotion showing during portions of the game, especially the latter part of it as the game was coming to an end. And part of the post game as well. Here's his response to that question.
It's probably amplified a little bit again, things I've talked about in December here, all the stuff going on that just doesn't make sense in college football, quite frankly. And that's a whole discussion for a different day. And there's a lot of things that, you know, kind of, you know, frustrate you a little bit, or you wonder, you know, what the hell's going on, you know. But the single best part about coaching is being with the guys. So, and when you got guys like we got, you know, it's just, like, that's the best part of the day. And I quit golfing 30 years ago. Thank God for everybody. But, like, that's if I was good golf and liked golf, like, that would be like going and golfing, right? But I don't golf, so I'd rather be around our players. And that's, you know, again, you get guys that are buying in and just, you know, focused on the right things. That's what makes it fun.
Kirk Ferentz speaking about why he got emotional as that game wound down and the trophies were presented after the game, and seeing some key players that will not be coming back to this Iowa football program, and meant a lot to their success. Speaking specifically about Sam Laporta and Jack Campbell and Riley Moss, among others, that will not be suiting up for this Iowa football team again. Could certainly understand where his emotions are coming from. Kirk also weighed in. We talked about Xavier Wampa, one of the guys who will be coming back for this Iowa football program, his first start, and talked about his growth over the last few months. Saw him get his first starting opportunity and saw him get a pick six against Kentucky. Here's what the head coach had to say.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's Cooper, but, you know, if you remember, like, Cooper was no household name a year ago, at least, you know, in November. So, again, that's what we get to watch is, you know, you watch guys get confidence, and the world we're living in now, it's just going to happen sooner than it used to. You know, you used to redshirt guys so frequently, but those days are gone. So you watch him doing things on special teams, and that's usually where, especially with the perimeter guys, you start getting a good feel about a guy. And he's been doing that. I mean, he's a ton of, he's got a great attitude, works hard, and that goes back to January when he showed up. So for him to, you know, get his first experience, I just asked him if he's nervous because I didn't want to talk to him before the game. He said no. And, you know, that's what he came here for, to play. So it was really good to see him step in there. And Cohen Entringer's done a really nice job, too. He had an injury he had to deal with here in December, or otherwise he would have been in there a little bit, too. So, you know, you got three guys back there. You don't want to lose a guy. You know, Kayvon one here, you don't want to lose a guy, but good to see younger guys step up and go.
Kirk Ferentz speaking about Xavier Wampa's growth over the last few months there. So, season in the books for Iowa football, 8-5. Certainly, considering how the season started out and considering where this team was after the blowout loss to Ohio State, certainly could have gone down the tubes and been considered a lost season. But you have to admire how this team fought and battled back. Of course, didn't get to play for that Big Ten championship. It was right there in front of them, the opportunity to get back to Indianapolis and take on Michigan for a Big Ten title was there. Weren't able to get the job done. Losing to Nebraska the final week of the season on Black Friday. But overall, closing the season with a bowl victory, certainly a positive, but there are still plenty of question marks with this football team going into the offseason here, looking ahead to spring ball and what's to come in 2023. And still plenty of news after the game here has come and gone. Starting to see this, and you see this with you know, teams across the country. This isn't exclusive to Iowa football, of course, but you see the bowl games come to an end. The players who maybe stuck around and played in the bowl game now making a decision about okay, you know, is it time for me to look elsewhere for, you know, a transfer situation, or is it an opportunity for me, if I was thinking about declaring for the draft, am I going to do that, or am I coming back for another season? We saw two of those pieces be announced today with the Iowa football program. This confirmed on social media, but first reported by numerous sources in the Iowa media circuit. Quarterback Carson May, who was quarterback number two for the bowl game this past weekend, is entering the transfer portal. May is a true freshman. He was the number four quarterback throughout this regular season. He was number two, as I highlighted, in the Music City Bowl. Did not see any game action. Now with Cade McNamara coming in, the Michigan transfer, Joe Labus's performance in the bowl game. Now Carson May choosing to find another opportunity. He would have potentially been the number three quarterback in 2023 behind McNamara and Labus, but no guarantees that he would see any playing time. So Carson May is entering the transfer portal. Of course, the Hawkeyes also bringing in a player they really like. If you read the recruiting information, the recruiting analysis of Marco Lanez, a three-star quarterback, who is a true freshman, he will arrive this summer. So quarterback room fairly settled, it looks like, going into 2023. Of course, Cade McNamara is still recovering from knee surgery. Joe Labus is going to get a lot of the snaps in spring practice, and that can only benefit him moving forward. So Iowa is going to have an interesting look at spring with mostly Joe Labus, and pretty much all Joe Labus in the practice reps here for spring of 2023. But Carson May announcing he is entering the transfer portal. That news coming out earlier today, and just about an hour or so ago, Iowa defensive end Lucas Van Ness declaring for the 2023 NFL Draft. He announced that on social media. He was a second-team All-Big Ten selection in 2022. He had six sacks this year, one season after recording seven and getting freshman All-America honors. So Lucas Van Ness, who has been a rising star for this Iowa football team, announcing his intentions to declare for the NFL draft. And that, in fact, brings in our poll question at kgymradio.com. Some of the draft gurus out there putting a first-round grade on Lucas Van Ness, potential first-round pick, some of the draft experts say, for Lucas Van Ness. So we're asking you, will he be a first-round draft pick? Yes or no? You could vote at kgymradio.com. Will Lucas Van Ness be a first-round draft pick? Early leader in the clubhouse is yes. He will be a first-round draft pick and would certainly be another feather in the cap of not just the Iowa defense, but the Iowa program as a whole, if you can plug Lucas Van Ness into the run of draft successes that the Iowa football program has had. But that's the other piece of news from earlier today. Lucas Van Ness announcing he will take his talents to the National Football League. We'll talk some NFL coming up later on in the program. Got plenty more college sports to talk about, college football, that is. We'll talk about the playoff semifinals. Those were some entertaining games, weren't they? We got Georgia and TCU lining up for the national championship under a week away from that game. We'll talk about that and more on the other side of this timeout. It's Spencer at Sports, January 3rd edition on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Kason Ferks with a check of your weather first forecast. As we head into the afternoon hours on Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms will begin to move out of the area, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures today will be into the upper 30s and lower 40s. As we head towards Tuesday night, cloudy skies are going to stick around as temperatures will be dropping into the middle 20s. Snow showers, though, begin to move in as we head towards Wednesday. Those will begin in the morning and stick around throughout the day. Temperatures will be significantly cooler. Highs only expected to be into the upper 20s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code COON. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. They also have live betting. You get updated odds on games that have already started, and when you win, you get paid your winnings fast. All of this is on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code KUHN for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa, first online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw. It's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Working out has been proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At the MAC, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers you can connect with, group exercise classes so you don't feel alone, saunas to help you relax, and many more amenities.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining the MAC for me.
To see everything the MAC has to offer, go to jointhe-mac.com. That's jointhe-mac.com.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Clearview Cabinetry starts as a kitchen built for now and grows with you as life changes. It's flexible by design with full access cabinet construction, so you can go from doors to drawers for a storage that works when you need it. Give your kitchen the upgrade it deserves with Clearview Cabinetry. Explore all our cabinet options on display in our kitchen showroom and save big money now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we're back, 2:27 on a Tuesday, first Tuesday of the new year. Spencer on Sports back with you here for 2023. Hope you had an enjoyable holiday weekend. We're back, I'd say better than ever, but I feel like that's promising too much, especially for this hour of radio. 319-366-1600. Recapped the Music City Bowl, Iowa winning 21-0 over Kentucky. One offensive touchdown, 0-for-11 on third downs, but they won comfortably over Kentucky. Two pick sixes in the game. Xavier Wampa, Cooper DeJean, each with a pick six as Iowa gets the win and finishes 8-5 with a shutout victory over Kentucky. That wasn't the only action we saw over the weekend. We had two fantastic CFP semifinal games. TCU, how about those Frogs? Iowa native Max Duggan leading TCU to a win over Michigan 51-45. Duggan running for two scores, throwing for two more. Did throw two interceptions in the game. But it was TCU who held off Michigan thanks to two pick sixes in part in that game, as TCU stunned the unbeaten Wolverines to advance to the national championship game coming up under a week from now. It'll be played next Monday out in L.A. Amari DiMercato, big game for him, 17 carries, 150 yards rushing, and a touchdown. Quentin Johnson with six catches for 163 yards and a score. For Michigan, J.J. McCarthy threw for 343 yards, threw two touchdowns, possibly would have been a third. There was that play in that first half where the review ruled, it was Roman Wilson, wasn't it? Down at the one, the very next play, Michigan fumbles. I feel like that probably could have been, should have been a touchdown, but that's not what review said in that first half. So if they score that touchdown, maybe it's a totally different game. But Michigan falling short, regardless of what one play, happened on one play in the game, still fell short. J.J. McCarthy with a couple touchdown passes did run for a score. Ronnie Bell, six catches for a 135 and a touchdown. Roman Wilson, five catches for 104 yards and a score, also ran for a touchdown. As TCU wins, they improve to 13-1. Michigan falls to 13-1 with the loss. And TCU and Iowa native Max Duggan talking about what it means to be playing for a national championship at his school.
No, it means a lot, and I think, you know, there's been so many great teams that have come through and built this program up. You know, there's probably too many to name that they did a lot to get this program to where we're at, and, you know, this means a lot to those guys, to our university, our fans that have continued to support us, have continued to have our backs, but just happy for the guys in this locker room. You know, a lot of guys have been through a lot of stuff, you know, some lows, some failures, things of that sort, but guys keep buying. Happy for this coaching staff, you know, that came in and believed in us and put us in spots to be successful. So just there's a lot of pride, you know, amongst TCU and this university.
Horned Frogs getting the win there. On the other side, like we talked about, Michigan taking the loss. Here's Duggan's counterpart, J.J. McCarthy, talking about the loss to TCU.
You know, all credit to them. They won the game in the 60 minutes that was played. And, you know, they're a good football team. No matter what it is, they got the win. And fought our hearts out. There's a lot of things that we could have done better. Can't wait to watch the tape, but we'll be back, and I promise that.
Again, Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy speaking there. If that game wasn't good enough for you, that second game, the Peach Bowl, semifinal number two, is just as good. Georgia winning 42-41. Number one, Georgia taking out number four, Ohio State. Stetson Bennett, in the end, throwing the game-winning touchdown pass, or the go-ahead touchdown pass, with 54 seconds left, part of four total scores on the night, three of them through the air, one on the ground, 398 passing yards for the Georgia quarterback. Ohio State had a chance to win at the end, just couldn't make a 50-yard field goal, and kind of some, you know, questionable play calling, second and third down, opting to throw the football as opposed to running the football, making a closer attempt for Noah Ruggles. You probably all saw the super cut of the ball dropping at Times Square and getting to 2023 as Noah Ruggles' kick wasn't even close. It went wide left and missed for Georgia to hang on to the victory. Kind of strange how that kick landed and hit the ground and missed right as the clock struck midnight in the Eastern time zone. But just how things worked out with a marathon game like that one. But Georgia will defend their national championship, beating Ohio State 42-41. Impressive performance from C.J. Stroud, 348 passing yards, through four touchdown passes. Marvin Harrison Jr. got knocked out. There was that hard hit in the end zone that probably could have been targeting. It was overturned. It was not considered targeting. He got knocked out. He did have a concussion on that play or sustain a concussion on that play. I think that made the difference in the game. He was burning Georgia. Five catches for 106 yards and two scores. Emeka Ebuka caught eight passes for 112 yards and a score as well for Ohio State. But in the end, it was Georgia. They outscored Ohio State 18-3 in that fourth quarter. And came back to win 42-41. Stetson Bennett talked about his comfort level leading that game-winning drive in the final minutes. Here's what Georgia's quarterback had to say.
It's the same thing with everything. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get. You know, and we wrap a lot of 2 minutes. We know, you know, what calls we're going to do. Or, you know, we've got players who study the game plan. And so it's less so confidence in what I can do. And, you know, I know that they're going to be where they're going to be and they're going to win their matchups. And so all I've got to do is give them the ball. So I'd say that slows my heart rate down. I don't know. But, yeah, definitely the reps.
Stetson Bennett talking after the game as they beat Ohio State 42-41. So, like I said, it is going to be Georgia taking on TCU for the national championship coming up on next Monday, January 9th, out in L.A., and ESPN's Heather Dinich weighed in on TCU's chances. Do the Horned Frogs have a chance against the defending national champs? Here's what ESPN's Heather Dinich thinks, her initial thoughts on the matchup.
Everyone has been doubting TCU all season long, and they're going to continue to doubt TCU in the national championship game against the number one team in the country. The question is, are they good enough to prove everybody wrong one more time when it's worth all the marbles? And to me, a lot of it depends on if they win that battle up front. The offensive line versus Georgia's defensive line is going to be critical. Max Duggan has been so good. So good. But to see one of their leading rusher go down to injury, I haven't seen an update on that guy. That's certainly a big deal, and you don't want to be one-dimensional, and you don't want to throw the ball to the other team when you're playing Georgia because they're going to do something with it. So I think they have to play fundamentally sound, mistake-free football, balanced offense in order to even have a shot at these guys.
ESPN's Heather Dinich from ESPN Radio's weekend analysis of the college football playoff and now the college football national championship coming up on Monday the 9th. TCU's got a shot. I think it's going to depend on playing mistake-free football, as Heather alluded to there. I think Georgia, just at first glance, one versus the three, Georgia's a really good team. There's a reason why they're ranked number one in the country. At Circa, if you're looking at things from a betting perspective, Circa Sports has Georgia as a 12.5-point favorite. The total is set at 63 as of today. So Georgia, almost a two-touchdown favorite for the game coming up on Monday. But TCU's got a shot. I think that's for sure. Would be a great story, especially for folks, of course, here in Iowa with Max Duggan, if he were to win that championship and get things done against Georgia, would be an all-time story, considering how they were, pick seventh in the Big 12 poll to start the year, unranked to start the year, and here they are playing for a title. That's pretty incredible in its own right. Other bowl games for the weekend had some good ones, had some not-so-good ones. A good performance for Alabama. I said Alabama's going to be upset that they got left out, and they certainly did take it out on K-State this weekend. The Crimson Tide winning 45-20. Bryce Young with 5 touchdown passes in the Sugar Bowl victory for Alabama. Deuce Vaughn, 22 carries for 133 yards and a score for K-State. Both Bryce Young, Will Anderson, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, as well for Alabama this weekend, declaring for the NFL draft. Deuce Vaughn also declaring for the NFL draft this weekend from K-State. The Crimson Tide finish 11-2, while Kansas State falls to 10-4. Games from yesterday. What a fitting Mike Leach ending. And if you had Illinois and a certain point spread in that game, my condolences to you. If you had Mississippi State and the 3.5, which I believe was the closing spread for the ReliaQuest Bowl yesterday, you were thrilled for that contest. But the Bulldogs getting a 19-10 victory, got the go-ahead field goal with 3 seconds left. And then on the final lateral play for Illinois, a 60-yard fumble return to create the final margin and turn a tie game into a 9-point victory in the final few seconds of the game. Mississippi State winning one for their late head coach, Mike Leach, there. Will Rogers tossing a couple interceptions in the win for Mississippi State, did throw a touchdown pass there. Tommy DeVito, his final game with Illinois, threw for 253 yards, did run for a score in the loss. The Illini finishing 8-5, Mississippi State 9-4. How about Tulane? The Green Wave, roll wave, the Tulane Green Wave shocking USC, rallying from down 45-30 with about 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Outscored USC 16-0 to win the game. They win 46-45 and end USC's or send USC to the offseason on a sour note. Big game for Tyjae Spears, 17 carries, 205 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the ground. Green Wave quarterback Michael Pratt threw for 2 touchdowns as well. Ruined a good performance from Caleb Williams, 462 passing yards and 5 touchdowns on the afternoon for the Heisman Trophy winner. But Tulane coming back to win 46-45. A huge turnaround for them, too, if you didn't see that yesterday. They went 2-10 last year, 12-2, and upset USC in the Cotton Bowl. Pretty big turnaround for Tulane as they win yesterday in comeback fashion in at Jerry World in Arlington. And some of the not so good, or one of the not so good games from the weekend, that Citrus Bowl. Ugly, ugly stuff. I didn't think Purdue had a shot, considering all the opt-outs they had, especially Aiden O'Connell and Payne Durham and Charlie Jones all opting out for the draft. But I didn't think they'd get blown out 63-7 by LSU yesterday. The Tigers outgaining Purdue 594-263 in that one. And the Rose Bowl, maybe kind of a bittersweet Rose Bowl, considering the changes that are coming here with the playoff and how the playoff's expanding. Maybe the last time and for quite a while we're going to see a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup in the Rose Bowl. And Penn State ended it on a winning note for the Big Ten, beating Utah 35-21. Sean Clifford closing his career at Penn State with two touchdown passes, including an 88-yarder in that second half. Nick Singleton, an 87-yard rushing touchdown as well for the Nittany Lions, who finished the year 11-2. Utah falls to 10-4. And for Penn State, didn't even realize this. You think with a program with, you know, the good seasons that Penn State has had over the number of years that they've been a national power, it was just their second ever win in the Rose Bowl. You have to go all the way back to January 2nd of 1995 to find their previous win in the Rose Bowl before yesterday's win over the Utah Utes. So that wraps up bowl season. Like I said, just one D1 FBS game left. That is the championship game coming up on Monday the 9th. The FCS game between North Dakota State, South Dakota State is this Sunday. And then college football is in the books until August. We got plenty of NFL and, you know, even what, USFL and XFL to talk about too. Are we excited for that? No, just focus on the NFL first. Okay, that's the read of the room here at 2:41 on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll take a quick time out. We'll talk some NFL latest updates on absolutely horrific story from yesterday. Damar Hamlin, Bills safety, collapsing in that Monday Night Football game last night. Get the latest updates involving that situation and more coming up in just a bit. It's Spencer at Sports on the Gym.
From the racetrack to the bat crack, it's as easy to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Elite Sportsbook makes betting as easy as a swipe with an easy-to-navigate, safe, and secure app platform. It's easier and faster to play your game. Get all the perks of live in-game betting, early cash out, and unique parlays at your fingertips. Sign up today and get your first bet risk-free up to $500 with Iowa's only locally owned sportsbook app. Play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring UnityPoint Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your UnityPoint Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. A Jacuzzi bath system fits in your existing tub space. It's a no-mess installation with an amazing style selection, factory-certified installers, and a limited lifetime warranty. Call 800-717-4599. That's 800-717-4599 right now and get 50% off installation with no interest and no payments for 12 months. Replace that old bathtub today with a walk-in shower for a safer bathing experience. If you have lived in your home for over 15 years, it's time to remodel your bathroom. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-717-4599. That's 800-717-4599. 800-717-4599.
And we're back at 2:44. Spencer on Sports for this January 3rd of 2023. 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in between 4 and 6. Today on the gym class, they will reveal the latest winner in the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 each Friday. During the football season, we give you a chance to win a gift card to Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids. Scott and Mark will reveal this week's winner for the pick six, and we'll pick more games, pick six more games coming up this Friday, just after 3:40. I will try to continue to make up ground here. I think the time is running out for yours truly. But we'll make a push. That's all I can say. We'll try. We'll go out there. We'll battle. We'll fight. And we'll see what happens. 319-366-1600. Talking NFL. And, boy, not the way we expected Week 17 to end. Not the way you expect any game to end or any week to end in the NFL. But scary, emotional scene last night. Supposed to be the best game of the weekend, and now there's question whether the game will even be played, period, considering where we are in the season for the NFL. But 5:58 left in the first quarter last night. Bills safety DeMar Hamlin made a hit on T. Higgins, the receiver for Cincinnati, and was on the ground, got to his feet, and then collapsed. After making the tackle, he got immediate medical attention on the field and was transported to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center in Cincinnati. The league announcing and the team announcing he suffered a cardiac arrest following the hit with his heartbeat restored on the field. The team also saying that Hamlin, as of early this morning, was in critical condition, where he remains today. The game was temporarily suspended. Just going back through the chain of events from last night, it was temporarily suspended and then officially postponed just after 10 o'clock Eastern or 9 o'clock our time. Hamlin did get CPR on the field for several minutes, was placed on a stretcher and then into an ambulance, and then taken to the hospital. Family spokesperson Jordan Rooney said earlier today that he's fighting. The family is in good spirits, and they're just taking it minute by minute, hour by hour. Did request that the family be given their privacy because they are going through a lot right now. Not a situation anyone wants to be in. You have to give a ton of credit to Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, and Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills, for coming together and basically saying, you know, okay, we're ending this now. There's no way possible you could have played that game last night. Football is not important at a time like this, and that's what you gotta look at from last night's situation. And there's kind of a he said, she said going on. I know there's folks pointing it out on Twitter, what Joe Buck said during the ESPN broadcast, where there's this supposed, I don't want to call it like an edict or discussion had of, okay, the players are going to have 5 minutes to warm up and go back on the field and resume play. Well, the NFL spokesman, Troy Vincent, came out and said, no, we didn't say that at all. That's insensitive. We never had that discussion. ESPN said, well, we heard from league sources and officiating sources at the game that there was a plan to restart this game. So it's kind of this he said kind of thing going on with that, and kind of the league's initial response to it. You know, no matter what that case is, you just have to hope and continue to pray for DeMar Hamlin. Some good is coming of this. You're seeing teams all over social media, especially on Twitter today, changing their profile pictures in support of DeMar Hamlin to a fake jersey that has DeMar and the number 3 as their Twitter profile pictures. There is a toy drive charity, a GoFundMe charity that Hamlin has set up, and it was about $2,600 as of last night, just before the game, and now it's almost, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it jumped up over $4 million with people all across the country donating and sharing that link So definitely some good coming of this. What the best news is going to be is if DeMar Hamlin pulls through this. That is 100% certain. So still monitoring that situation. Some people asking too, what does this mean? And you know, not there are people who are asking this for all the wrong reasons, because they, you know, have bets placed or fantasy football winnings or whatever, should not be the focus at all for this. But people asking legitimately, what does this mean for the schedule? And are they going to be able to play this game? Because it was the best game of the weekend. It involved two teams that are still very much alive for one of the top three seeds in the AFC heading into playoff time. And what the news came out today was NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell telling both teams the game will not be played this week. There was some thought that, okay, you know, again, they weren't going to play it last night. That's for certain. The Bills flew home after the game the game was postponed. They flew back to Buffalo. So the chances of them playing today probably was not going to be good. But considering the circumstances and considering the uncertainty around DeMar Hamlin's health, it does not make sense for them to try to play this game this week. Obviously, with the week coming to an end and these two teams, or with the season coming to an end, pardon me, and these two teams having games here in week 18, it's going to be kind of tough to find a window to play this. But Roger Goodell informing both teams they will not play this game this week between the Bengals and the Bills, also saying that the league has made no decision regarding when or if the resumption of the game will take place. So we're not sure if we're going to get to see the conclusion of this game. Again, that pales in comparison to what the focus should be, and that's DeMar Hamlin and his health, as he is in critical condition at a hospital in Cincinnati. But no word on whether this game will be resumed at all. There are no changes to the Week 18 schedule. The Bengals are slated to host the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Buffalo is slated to host the New England Patriots on Sunday as well. So we'll have to see how the scheduling aspect plays out. But that is the latest information that we have for you here. And we'll certainly, ESPN Radio will, their national programming and our local local sports shows will keep you up to date on the latest info regarding that situation. ESPN's been doing a great job. Got to give kudos to not just ESPN, their broadcast teams for Monday Night Football with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, Lisa Salters, their studio crew. Scott Van Pelt did a fantastic job last night. But Westwood One Sports here on KGYM with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen and all their crew involved, they did a fantastic job, at least doing what they could in a situation in which there is little to no precedent for in the NFL. So that's the latest. That's the big story in the NFL. We'll talk more about the playoff scenarios and stuff tomorrow. There was some news aside from DeMar Hamlin, the NFL announcing a Saturday doubleheader. In case you were curious, the Saturday schedule includes the Chiefs and the Raiders. That is a 3:30 Central Time kickoff. And then the battle for the AFC South. Somebody's got to win it. The Titans taking on the Jaguars. That will be a nighttime game. The primetime game on Saturday, 7:15 p.m. Kickoff time here locally. The Packers and the Lions have been flexed into the Sunday night game for the final regular season game. Aaron Rodgers with a chance to make the postseason. There's some chagrin to that because there is, the NFL claims they want fairness. The NFL wants, everybody to play at the same time, no game to be meaningless to anybody. However, people pointing out that people pointing out the fact that the Seahawks, who still have a chance to make the postseason, they are playing at 3:25. However, the Packers and Lions are playing the primetime slot If the Seahawks beat the Rams in the 325 slot, the Lions will be eliminated from playoff contention. So that makes the nighttime game on Sunday a little bit less valuable to the audience. A little bit less of a storyline there. However, we've seen the NFL, especially in recent years, they claim they want fairness with those matchups, but in the end, it's ratings. It's eyeballs on the TV. That is what primarily controls their decision making for the end of the season here with week 18. Quick look at college hoops. We'll talk more about the college hoops slate coming up, but big upset yesterday in the Big Ten. Second year in a row, Rutgers has knocked off number one Purdue 65-64. The Scarlet Knights get the win in West Lafayette. Cam Spencer, the go-ahead three-pointer with 14 seconds left. Another loss over the weekend for the Iowa men's basketball team, falling to Penn State 83-79. Iowa with a strong comeback in that second half, just couldn't get the job done in that second half. A key turnover late allowed Penn State to make a couple free throws and ice the game. Iowa down big at halftime, shot 56% in the second half, but fell 83-79. Chris Murray with 32 points in the loss on Sunday. Iowa now 8-6 overall, 0-3 in the Big Ten. Doesn't get any easier. Number 15, Indiana, comes to town on Thursday. Iowa women fell to Illinois 90-86 over the weekend as well. Iowa State men with another win over ranked Team 2. They beat Baylor 77-62. Cyclones back ranked in the AP Top 25 this week. That'll wrap it up for us. We'll talk more NFL tomorrow, and we'll dive into more college hoops and the rest of the sports world tomorrow at 2. Stay tuned for the gym class coming up between 3 and 4 with Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes. Also today between 4 and 6, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Adam Rittenberg joining the show today at 4:30. John Bonenkamp as well at 5:30. It's on the way for you today here on KGYM. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We're back here tomorrow at 2 on the gym.